The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 14, Text Number 12, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 23rd, 2006, in Amsterdam, Netherlands.
So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 14, the story of King Vena, Text Number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tad vidvad virva sat vritto. Venos mabi kriton ripa. Sandvito yadi no vacham. Nagrahish yat yadharma krit. Lokadikar sandhagdham. Dahis yamas vatejasa. Translation and report by Srila Prabhupada. The saintly kings continued thinking. Of course, we are completely aware of his mischievous nature. Yet nevertheless, we enthroned Vena. If we cannot persuade King Vena to accept our advice, he will be condemned to the public and we will join them. Thus, by our prowess, we shall burn him to ashes. Report. Purport. Saintly persons are not interested in political matters. Yet they are always thinking of the welfare of the people in general. Consequently, they sometimes have to come down to the political field and take steps to correct the misguided government or royalty. However, in Kali Yuga, saintly persons are not as powerful as they previously were. They used to be able to burn any sinful man to ashes by virtue of their spiritual prowess. Now, saintly persons have no such power due to the influence of the age of Kali. Indeed, the Brahmas do not even have the power to perform sacrifices in which animals are put into a fire to attain a new life. Under these circumstances, instead of actively taking part in politics, saintly persons should engage in chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By the grace of Lord Chaitanya, simply by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the general populace can derive all benefits without political implications. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svabadantikam. So this was previously sometimes done by the sages. They would come into politics to straighten out some situation. They had great powers. Simply by their words, they assassinated him. So we don't have such power of cursing, Kali Yuga. Nor should, if we tried to engage other political means, would we be successful. We would be smashed. We'd be crushed. Therefore, in this age, we should simply perform the Sankirtan Yajna. This is the powerful remedy for all of the ills which are plaguing the human society. When Krishna himself appears, he also had the ability to kill. He actually came to kill Jagai Madan. You see. But Lord Nityananda implored him, my dear Lord, in this age, everyone is like these rascals. If you kill them, you'll have to kill everyone, so better you spare them. So Lord Chaitanya took this very good advice of Lord Nityananda, and he spared them. So even Krishna himself is Lord Chaitanya, who is all powerful to annihilate demons. He does not do that in this age. He annihilates the demoniac mentality through the Sankirtan movement. So we, as the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are doing the same thing. We do not think how to rid the world of demoniac leaders by political means. We think, we understand from the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam, by the authority of Srila Prabhupada, that simply by performing Sankirtan Yajna, all auspiciousness will be the result. And that is a fact. This holy name bestows all auspiciousness upon the entire universe. So the more that we absorb ourselves in chanting Hare Krishna mantra, the more that we spread this wonderful knowledge given to us by Srila Prabhupada, then we will see the atmosphere of this planet becoming more and more affected and blessed by this wonderful, wonderful saving grace of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. The modern-day politicians are perplexed how to solve the terrorism problem. They think, well, if we invade Iraq, we can wipe out terrorism. But we can see that these methods are not very successful. So actually the government leaders, they should get behind the Sankirtan movement. This can solve all the problems of the world. The government leaders should do like this. They should get behind this movement and support it fully. When Prabhupada was flying into Chicago years ago, while he was traveling and preaching around the world, he happened to see one magazine, the cover, Crime and How to and What to Do. So he had an idea, and he came to Chicago. They called many press conferences. And he met with many government leaders also to explain to them that this Krishna consciousness movement is the solution to solve the crime problem. And many leaders came and seriously heard from Prabhupada. I remember one lieutenant from the Chicago police force came and had darshan with Srila Prabhupada. They took very seriously Srila Prabhupada's program that through this Krishna consciousness, all the crime problems can be solved. So this was not simply some trick to get media attention. This is a fact. This Krishna consciousness movement will solve all problems. Individually, it will solve the problems of birth, death, old age, and disease. And collectively, it will solve all the social problems, terrorism, crime, disease, pollution of the atmosphere, etc. Actually, pollution of the atmosphere means that when there are two atmospheres, there's the internal atmosphere and there's the external atmosphere. When the internal atmosphere, namely the minds of the population, are polluted with material desires, then the natural ramification of the internal pollution will be external pollution. So the easy, simple way to clean up the environment is to start at the root. The problem with the environmentalists is that they do not go after the environmental problem on the causal level. They go on the symptomatic level. They try to treat the symptoms of the pollution in the world. They don't treat the cause. So this is actually the perfection of environmentalism, Krishna consciousness. Because the atmosphere begins with the mind. The creation unfolds from subtle to gross. So the pollution also begins on the subtle and then it manifests on the gross plane. So if we want to actually clean up the environment, then we must clean up the mind. So this is a very good program if they will just take it. By cleansing the heart of all the dirt, then naturally the air will become clean, the water will become clean, and the sound vibrations, everything will become clean if we can cleanse the heart of all the dirt that has accumulated for thousands and millions of lifetimes. The environmentalists tell us that you must recycle. And that's very nice. However, they don't know what is the real meaning of recycling. You see, their idea is, well, you have some glass bottle, so instead of just throwing it, you keep reusing it again and again and again. Keep it cycling. So, there's another type of recycling. And that is, all the energy is coming from God. Everything that exists is God's energy. So you are meant to offer that back to the Lord. That is the cycle. The Lord is giving, we are receiving. The cycle means you give it, offer it back to the Lord. In this way, this is the original spiritual recycling. That act of recycling will purify the atmosphere. Just like the environmentalists, they're saying, well, if you don't recycle, then everything will become polluted if you don't recycle. But that's also true in the spiritual level. If you don't take the energy that's coming from Krishna and offer it back in His service, and you try to hoard it, try to keep it, without putting it back into the cycle, then that is pollution. So this is a very nice program. The actual recycling process is known as Krishna Bhakti. That is the original pure form of recycling, which will, if done throughout the human society, solve every single problem that plagues the society. This is why we have to be very, very enthusiastic to get this message out to the people. Because they are suffering, as we explained last night, they are suffering in very, very, very problematic condition without this Krishna consciousness to guide them, to uplift them, to save them from gliding down to the lower species of life. The saintly sages are always thinking of what is the welfare of all living beings. They are completely happy in themselves. They are called Atmaram. They have complete satisfaction and happiness on their own. But even though they themselves are fully satisfied, they feel dissatisfied to see how much the conditioned souls are suffering in this material existence. It tears their hearts apart, actually, to see how much people are becoming misled by false propaganda. They can't tolerate it. It puts them into a state of constant anxiety, actually. What can I do? What can I do? How can I push forward this Krishna consciousness for the deliverance of the fallen conditioned souls? This is the mood of the saintly sages. This is the mood that Srila Prabhupada wants us to have. It is called transcendental anxiety. Actually, the more you feel transcendental anxiety, the more you become blissful. Because Lord Chaitanya is greatly devastated to see how much entangled his parts and parcels are in karma chakra. He's in a great state of transcendental anxiety, Prabhupada explains. So that devotee who takes up this spirit of delivering the fallen souls, you see, of helping the fallen souls to come out of their sleeping condition and come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, they are shouldering some of the burden of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're relieving him of some of that burden. So how much he will bless those persons. There are many devotees. They are bowing down, they are offering obeisances, they are chanting Hare Krishna. And they certainly receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But those devotees who embrace the mood of helping to relieve Lord Chaitanya of his transcendental anxiety, those devotees who are in the Sankirtan spirit, you see, who want to save the fallen souls, who want to reconnect the separated children of the Lord with their beloved Father, whose hearts are burning with compassion, who are burning with anxiety to see how much the parts and parcels, living beings, have become separated from the Lord. You see, those persons, they become very special recipients. They become the recipients of the very, very special mercy of the Lord, as described by Krishna. There is no one more dear to me than the one who preaches this Krishna consciousness movement, nor will ever be anyone more dear. So it's not that the devotee takes up the mood because he wants to be the most dear. No, he takes it up because he wants to please the Lord. And that's why. Not the devotee is after recognition. It's not that he's after recognition. That's one of the diseases, to want recognition. Prabhupada explains the 26 qualities of the devotee. The 26th quality is silent. So Prabhupada explains, what is that meaning? Of course, on one level it means you only talk about Krishna. You only chant Hare Krishna, you don't chant, you know, material thing. But another meaning is, it does not advertise. He's not looking to be recognized. He simply wants to please the Lord, that's all. He wants the Lord to be recognized. He wants everyone to recognize the Lord. So he goes forward with great enthusiasm and great determination and with patience to try to bring the human society to the platform of recognizing the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one who adopts this spirit of selflessly, without any desire of anything else, simply wants to become a pure devotee and help everyone else to become a pure devotee. There is no one that pleases the Lord more than that devotee. So therefore we should all strive to develop this mood. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has very nicely explained in his song, Kabbe Habbe Bolo Se Dinamar. In the final verse, he is saying, when will I forget about my own comforts and finally develop the mood of a Sankirtan devotee? In this way he explains. And he says, when will that day be mine? When I really become in the Sankirtan mood and I will stop thinking about my eating and sleeping. He's praying for that day. When will that day come? When I finally become a Sankirtan devotee and not be absorbed in eating and sleeping any longer. Of course, he was already there, but he's praying that way for us because we're still attached to eating and sleeping. We're still not fully embracing the spirit of how we can deliver the fallen souls back to home, back to Godhead. So we have to pray. We have to hanker. When will that day come? Please, Krishna, bless me. That day can come now, right now. Please bless me that I can take up this mood of wanting to deliver the fallen souls from their suffering condition by giving them a book, by giving them prasadam, by giving them the holy names, by giving them somehow or other the opportunity to engage themselves in Krishna consciousness process, to give them this opportunity to join the Krishna consciousness movement. You see? This is a revolutionary movement which will transform the heart of anyone who seriously joins it. And will indeed, as has been predicted, will go down in history for having saved this world in its darkest hour of despair. So we are in the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing by engaging ourselves in the Sankirtan Yajna. There is no greater moment in history than right now. This is the most exciting moment in history, when the greatest devotee, the most powerful guru, has just recently come and given everything necessary to completely transform this planet and make it Krishna conscious. He has given everything needed. And he has given us the order. Now you do it. Deliver the world. Become guru and deliver the world. He's given the order. And now here we are. We've been blessed with the Shakti of the greatest spiritual master in history. He's blessed us with the Shakti, with the Bhakti, and the knowledge. Everything needed has been given by Prabhupada that we can make this world Krishna conscious. So now we simply have to fully absorb ourselves in this. We have to surrender to Prabhupada's order to transcendentalize this entire planet by spreading it everywhere, to every town and village. Of course, it's predicted it will happen. So we have God on our side. Prithivritri achayatra nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoibhi madanam. In as many towns and villages as there are throughout this entire planet, they will all be inundated with this Harinam Sankirtan. So we have everything. We have the predictions there. It's simply a matter of who will do it now. Will it be our generation or some future generation of Vaishnavas that bring these predictions to full fruition? Will it be us or someone else in the future? Well, I'd rather it be us. I'd like to see it happen in my lifetime. The high court judges are wearing tilak. I pray for that mercy. It would be so nice to see all the high court judges wearing tilak. You see, the presidents, the prime ministers, the kings, the queens. It would be so nice. Have all the money, instead of having euros, we'll have Krishnas. You see, how many Krishnas is that? It's 10,000 Krishnas. How nice that would be. So, in this way, even though we don't directly engage in politics, we indirectly engage in politics by performing Sankirtan Yajna. We have our political agenda, actually, in this Krishna Congress movement. But we don't go about it in a political way. Prabhupada actually ordered us in Bombay. He said, this world is being misguided by rogues and demons. Now you make your life successful and take the management. So we are meant to actually guide the human society. That is the fact. We are meant to lead the whole world out of chaotic conditions. So that will be done by the Sankirtan. By the more the Sankirtan Yajna becomes successful, that's how we will see it manifest. The more the books are there, the more the kirtans are going on, the more the festivals are going on, the more the prasadam distribution is going on, the more that we're making devotees, all of these things will add up into a very, very potent and successful transformation of the human society. So we can stop here and ask if there's any questions. Yes?
Does it mean that simply by engaging in Sankirtan Yajna, we will develop gradually this mood of compassion toward conditioned souls?
Yes, that is a fact. Actually, you already have it. Because you are a pure devotee, actually. Underneath all that dirt that you've accumulated through millions of lifetimes, you are a pure devotee. You have unlimited compassion for all living entities. So all you have to do is engage in activities that purify your consciousness. And especially the Sankirtan Yajna purifies the consciousness. All you have to do is engage in these activities and the natural compassion you already have will become uncovered. It's already there. You simply have to uncover it. This is not some artificial thing. I have to try to develop compassion. No. You already have it. You just have to uncover it. It's not that you don't have it. You have it. Now simply uncover it. You don't have to add compassion to your heart. You already have it. You just have to uncover it by cleansing the heart of the Sankirtan Yajna, congregational chanting, and by preaching. Questions more? Yes?
Thanks for your lecture. My question was, how we distinguish between patience and laziness? Because sometimes we are looking very patient when there is something good. And,
you want to know the difference between patience and laziness?
Yeah, we will wait till other devotee will clean it. But actually it's laziness. Yeah, how do you distinguish?
Yes. Yes. Patience and laziness. What is the difference? Okay. Laziness is the mode of ignorance. And unbridled passion for, advancing oneself. The mode of passion is there. So you can say enthusiasm without patience is passion. Patience without enthusiasm is ignorance. And patience and enthusiasm together, that is sattva-gun. So if you have patience without enthusiasm, then that's laziness. But if you have great enthusiasm, at the same time you're patient. You see, then that's very good. That's the position. If someone's very enthusiastic, they have no patience, then what'll happen? They'll burn out. That enthusiasm will be here today and gone tomorrow. Because you can't expect instant results. Say, I want to save the world, so I got my book bag full. I'll go out, you try hard all day, a few books go out, and think, wow, they're still eating meat, they're still drinking liquor, what's wrong? See, you have to have patience. It takes time for this knowledge to seep, the books to get out there, to get into the homes. It takes time for the seep into the consciousness. We have to be very, very patient. So we have to keep our enthusiasm very, very high, even when we don't see immediate results. We have to have faith in the process of this book distribution, preaching. We have to have faith that this will bring about the desired re-spiritualization of the human society. If you don't have faith, and you want to see it, therefore you require instant result to convince you, then your enthusiasm will very quickly be finished. So that patience has to be combined. Patience and enthusiasm have to be combined. That's the key. Just see how patient Prabhupada was with us. I mean, how much he had to tolerate our anarthas. I mean, it was just horrible in many ways. What Prabhupada had to tolerate from us. So much nonsense, but he very patiently went on keeping his enthusiasm. How did he have his enthusiasm? In his relationship with Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that was his great source of enthusiasm. He always felt that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was with him, was seeing him, was blessing him, was guiding him. So he always felt that enthusiasm, even though it wasn't always so encouraging, what he got from us. It took a lot of tolerance sometimes. Just like in that one case, one devotee, Prabhupada had gone through such a great endeavor to get the Bombay property in Juhu, you know, signed over to ISKCON. With great, great endeavor. Then one of his disciples, under the influence of lawyers who were secretly working with Mr. Nair, they were posing as our lawyers, but they were actually working with Mr. Nair, they induced this devotee, a leading devotee, to cancel the agreement. Completely opposite of what Prabhupada wanted. So Prabhupada had to deal with all the, I mean, after he endeavored with great difficulty to finally get the property signed over, his disciple undid it. He canceled it. So Prabhupada had to deal with all these kinds of things from us. He would work so hard to accomplish something and then we would mess it up. And, you know, so he had to be very, very patient with us. But at the same time, he never gave up his enthusiasm because he had that long-range vision of what is going to be accomplished by serving the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So in our preaching work, we have to have that long-range vision. What will be the result of distributing books, of preaching, distributing prasadam? The result will be that we will go back to Godhead, and the result will be that gradually, eventually, this whole world will become Krishna conscious. Any more questions? Yes.
Krishna wants it, or is it just we choose to do it this way?
When we mess things up. Oh, does Krishna want us to mess it up?
Well, messed up. We can become messed up.
Huh? Yeah, that reminds me of the time when Prabhupada was taking the Charanamrita in Los Angeles temple. He's the first one to take. So he had a sour look on his face. He said, "It is salt." So they found out some brahmacharini had put salt in the Charanamrita instead of sugar. She came out giggling and said it was Krishna's arrangement. So that really... when we make a mistake, it's ours nonsense. If we do something right, then we should say it's Krishna's arrangement. In spite of my bungling nature. By Krishna's grace and His mercy, I did something right for a change. But when we mess up, we have to understand it's our lack of surrender. Can't blame it on Krishna. Krishna's arrangement, that is, everything should go on perfectly. But we are not in harmony. We are not in concert with Krishna. We have diverted from Krishna. Of course, that is within His arrangement, because He wants us to choose voluntarily whether to love Him or to leave Him. He wants our love, but love cannot be forced, so therefore He gives us the option to love Him or to leave Him. So if we do leave Him, then we have to face chaotic condition. So that chaos is within the ordered system of the Lord, actually. Everything is within the Lord's ordered system, even the chaos. Because that is a correctional, that is a correcting mechanism. Just like in your car, or in one's car, there are warning lights. If there's something going wrong, the alarm goes off to warn you, let you know. So chaos, that's part of the ordered system of how the car was constructed by the manufacturer. So the chaotic conditions of this material world are simply a warning sign that we're doing something wrong. That's so. The pain of material existence It's just a warning light going off. That's all it is. Everything is happening under the perfect arrangement of Krishna. Not a blade of grass can move without the will, the sanction of the Supreme Being. So, but it's plan B, not plan A. The Lord's desire is that everyone should be engaged in His service. So it's not really His plan that all this nonsense should be going on. It is part within the Lord's arrangement, but it's plan B instead of plan A. That if you deviate, then this is what's going to happen, to bring you back to plan A. The Lord's plan is that everyone should remain Krishna conscious. That He gives us the freedom to deviate so we can really be doing it out of love instead of out of force. Questions more?
Yeah. This day you were talking about that the devotees should be happy when there is distress and pain and things like that. Is that in every case, is that so, or just in cases where this helps you, your Krishna consciousness? Or because you do something for Krishna and not like you say you get arrested or something like that? But maybe
he's asking that yesterday you mentioned that the devotee should be happy in all situations, in distress, in any in kind of situation. So is that only in Krishna consciousness or when we are doing Krishna conscious activities or otherwise also?
Well, more like when you get sick or something like that, or something happens.
But when you get sick, when you get sick or you got some kind of disturbance going
on. Well, you have to see how that is a blessing, actually. That I was thinking I could enjoy this material world, and now Krishna is showing me, no, I cannot. You have to see, everything is a blessing, even if you get sick, no matter what may happen. That somehow or other Krishna has put me into this situation for a purpose. How can I use this situation to increase my Krishna consciousness? Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
I think there was a mention of the animal sacrifices. Can you give a description of what exactly the animal sacrifices used to be? And
yes.
In which sense they are actually supposed to be stopped nowadays?
In which sense are they supposed to be stopped now?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Previously, the Brahmins, to test the power of their mantra, in the sacrificial fire, they would put an old cow. And then, by the power of their mantra, that old cow would be rejuvenated, would come out of that fire with the body of a young calf. Because the Brahmins in the Kali Yuga do not have the power to chant mantras with that potency. Therefore, all sacrifices except for the Sankirtan sacrifice are forbidden in this age. Because there are no qualified Brahmins who can chant the mantras so perfectly to accomplish that. Questions more? So everything makes sense. Everyone's convinced now. No more nonsense. Fully surrender. Yeah.
Well, about the books, you in your prayer, you always say flooding the whole world in Srila Prabhupada's books.
Srila Prabhupada, what?
Yeah, that you say you're
distributing Srila Prabhupada's book to the whole world.
Yes. Robert Matsa, everyone should have these books, yeah.
And you praise that so much. Can you elaborate a little on that?
So you praise so much, but can you elaborate a little more?
On what?
Distribution of books.
Yes. Yes, the distribution of the books of Srila Prabhupada is the greatest kindness that one can have on another, on someone, on a living being. There's no greater kindness than to distribute Prabhupada's books to them. Even if they don't read the book initially, just touching the book, just taking it home and putting it in a nice place on their bookcase, that alone will purify them. Or to speak of, sooner or later they will pick it up and read it, or someone else will pick it up and read it. Just by seeing the book, just by touching the book, just by carrying the books on the street with you, you're purifying that city. These books are emanating shakti, bhakti shakti. The books themselves have shakti, and they're emanating bhakti shakti. Just by carrying the books down the street, you're uplifting the global consciousness. Just by carrying the books on the street, what to speak of distributing them, even just carrying them with you, that's having an uplifting potency on this planet. These books are actually deities, Prabhupada told. There was one householder couple traveling and preaching in India, distributing books. And they said, Srila Prabhupada, can we keep deities? Prabhupada said, you already have deities, the books are deities. So there's no need for deities. You have deities already, these books. So these books are very, very special. Prabhupada was in the spiritual world as one of Krishna's Nityasiddha devotees. And Krishna ordered him, you go to the material world and write those books. Prabhupada was ordered directly by Krishna to come here and write these books. And actually Prabhupada said, I did not write. Krishna dictated from within the heart. So when we study the translation, the purports, actually it's all the words of Krishna. Because Prabhupada was dictated by Krishna from within, what should go in the purport. So there is no greater kindness, there is no greater compassion, there is nothing that gives more pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. When someone takes up this mood, when someone takes up this activity of distributing books, and the fact is, there's no greater intoxication. I remember one time we were preaching in Istanbul, and there was a program in one hall. These people had never been exposed to ISKCON or Krishna consciousness. They were completely brand new. So we gave a very, we had a real fired up kirtan, and they all loved it. They joined in the kirtan. We gave a real fired up lecture about the importance of this knowledge. And then we offered the books. We had Turkish Bhagavad Gitas, as many as we could carry with us. And within 5 to 10 minutes, every one of them was sold out. Every single book gone. Hardbound. And it was the most amazing feeling. I was so intoxicated coming out of that program, I forgot what country I was in. We came out and said, wow, this is Istanbul, Turkey. I'd forgotten where I was. I was swimming in this ocean of divine intoxication, because so many, the books had just gone out. I mean, the leader of this meditation center was the first one. The leader himself came forward with the money. He wanted to make sure he got one. So actually, my practical experience is there's no greater intoxication than distributing these books. I mean, it's the ultimate drug. You may object, but actually, Rupa Goswami, he said, this is the final drug, Krishna consciousness. It's the ultimate drug, Krishna prema. So, this is the ultimate experience, to distribute this Krishna consciousness. There is no greater pleasure in the world than to push forward the Sankirtan movement. It's the ultimate enjoyment. As Prabhupada told, our bhavanandam. He said so. He said, it is not bhavananda, it is bhavananda. Do you know what is the meaning? And they were thinking about one who enjoys bhav, which would be bhavananda. But no, it's bhavananda. It's a different word, actually. Prabhupada says, bhavananda means one who enjoys this material world. So our bhavananda Prabhu, he was thinking, you know, Prabhupada really has understood my dirty heart. And Prabhupada said, by preaching. You see? By preaching. So actually, there is no greater enjoyment than that one can have than to be in this material world and preaching. Sometimes I think it must be better than going back to Godhead, actually. Because Krishna, to increase his own pleasure, has become Lord Chaitanya. So sometimes I think that preaching in this material world must be more blissful than being in Goloka Vrindavan. I sometimes think like that. Of course, how could there be any greater pleasure than being in Goloka Vrindavan? How could that be possible? But yet, Lord Chaitanya himself came here to preach, to increase his own pleasure. So it could be argued that preaching in this material world is more ecstatic. Actually, what did Prabhupada say? He said, preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than mangoes. To be out on some dreary, grey, snowy, cold, wintry street distributing books is sweeter than being in a tropical paradise eating mangoes. It's a fact.
Where there is plenty of mangoes, you won't feel the taste. But where there is no mangoes and you get one mango, it will be relishable.
Mm. Yes. That's great.
So the devotee who preaches will find the material world more interesting than Goloka.
Yeah, in many ways. Preaching in this world is actually sweeter than the spiritual world in many ways. So our mood is whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants me to stay here and preach lifetime after lifetime, that's all right. If he wants me to keep distributing books, go on interplanetary sankirtan. Distribute Prabhupada's books all over the universe. Why only this planet? Prabhupada actually mentions in interplanetary in one purport. You've seen that purport? Yeah. A devotee thinks, if Krishna wants me to stay in this material world and preach, that's all right. If he wants me to come back to Goloka, that's all right. Whatever he wants, I'm prepared to do. He can do anything he wants to with me. I'm simply his puppet. He can make me dance exactly how he wants. Whatever he wants to do with me, he can do. I'm simply his puppet. He can pull the strings. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If he wants to kill me right now, that's all right. If he wants to protect me, that's all right. Whatever he wants, I'm simply his. That's all. My happiness is simply to belong to him. Nothing else. Questions, Mark? Yeah.
Shankishan Prabhu, I went out for a long time alone. I tried to do one little book a day. But I have been like a couple of times in the association of another devotee. And it was like the bliss I couldn't taste when I went out alone. I couldn't taste bliss, actually. Very difficult. In the association with devotees that I could feel sort of bliss.
Yes, that's right. That's a fact. It's very difficult to taste the nectar when you don't have anyone to share it with. I had an experience one time. I was one brahmachari. when I was Brahmachari. There was one other Brahmachari. He was going to travel South India with me and go to different holy places. But then at the last minute, he couldn't go, and I ended up going alone. And I found that even though I was going to so many different holy places, you know, major holy places, Tirupati, what is that? That island out there. Rangachetra I went to, and then, Rameshwaram, yes. I wasn't relishing any nectar. I was all alone. I wasn't really tasting much. It was very dry, alone. So we really need each other. We really need each other. We really do. To be enlivened, we need each other. So that's why we should always worship the devotees. Should never see them as ordinary karmi. Because we need them. We need each other to really taste the nectar. So we should always love the devotees, appreciate the devotees, serve the devotees. Because how much we depend on them to be Krishna conscious. So, we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.